Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsor, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We welcome your calls. Well, no, we don't welcome your calls. We'll welcome a little bit later, but right now we have with us on the line Dr. Kent Hovind. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Brother, how's things in California?
It's a beautiful fall day. Really, it's a time of year I really love. It's cool and crisp, and the sky is clear. How about back there?
Well, it actually got down below freezing here last night. Pretty rare for Pensacola, Florida, but... Yeah, we're a little chilly, but doing fine.
Okay, fine. Well, Dr. Kent Hovind, of course, has dedicated himself to educating people about this fraud of evolution. And people say, well, science has proven evolution. Well, science has not proven evolution. Scientists deny that there is a creator, that there is a design to everything. It just sort of happened by accident. A life just came out of nothing, and boy, it takes a lot more faith to believe in that than to believe that there is a God who created the heaven and earth. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Kent?
Well, yeah, the whole problem is they don't define what they mean by evolution. You know, when somebody says, do you believe in evolution? I say, well, wait, let's define this. What are we talking about, you know? Are you talking about microevolution, where dogs produce a variety of offspring? Well, sure, I believe that happens. Does it go any farther than that? Does it extend to macroevolution, where dogs and bananas are related? No, it doesn't extend to that. You know, there's six different meanings to the word, and I cover those on my website, drdino.com. Or we've got a free book we give out if radio listeners call. Our office is closed now, but they could call and still leave a message. It's called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book, where it covers the six different meanings of the word. And I think it's really important that people that are going to discuss evolution define exactly what they're talking about.
And I think that's really so important. It's like when people say this is a Christian nation, and the people say it's not a Christian nation. Well, of course, what do you mean? How do you define a Christian nation?
Right.
And if you don't know what you're talking about, you can't even discuss it. And, of course, one of the greatest lies of all time is that science has proven evolution. Is that really true? Has science proven evolution?
Well, if you define the word to mean, you know, dogs and wolves have a common ancestor, sure, I think they've proven that. Does that prove dogs and bananas have a common ancestor? No. So, you know, I would have to define the word evolution before I could even answer the question, have they proven it? They have proven that, you know, if you crossbreed dogs, you're going to get a dog. Every farmer in the world that, you know, plants corn expects to get corn. So what we've proven is what the Bible says, that they'll bring forth after their kind. Nobody's ever proven anything about this evolution theory that I'm aware of.
Well, aren't the scientists who are clinging to evolution really having sort of a hard time as we begin unraveling and breaking the DNA code, and we begin to see the similarities between all forms of life, and we get down to genes? How can anybody say this happened by accident? There has to be a master designer to have such perfect design.
Well, if you compare the DNA code to, say, a DVD, okay, suppose you lived on another planet, and a DVD fell out of the sky and landed, you know, on your property. You pick it up, you analyze it under the microscope, and you notice, hey, there's some kind of code on here. And so you work and you work and you work, and you spend years and years and years and millions of dollars trying to break this code. What is the code written on this DVD? If you somehow, you know, at some point, like today, I think they've analyzed or they've decoded about, you know, 1% of the DNA code. If you did ever analyze the DNA code, analyze the DVD, that wouldn't prove nobody designed it.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Kent Hovind. Some people refer to him as Dr. Dino, and of course he spends full time talking and lecturing and writing on this greatest fraud that is upon us, and that is this idea that man evolved from lower forms of life, and life suddenly appeared spontaneously. There is no God, there is no designer, because of course the basic thrust of the entire evolutionary theory is to prove that there is no God, and that the Bible is basically wrong. So you pick up the story there, Kent. You've been working at this very well, and you're able to defend the idea that there is a God, that we see him in everything around us. We see him in nature. How can people with any intelligence at all deny the fact that there is a perfect design, whether it's to human anatomy or with a periodic table of chemistry or in music or in mathematics? Everywhere we look, we see the hand of God, even in the formation of all the various languages of the world.
It blows my mind. I don't understand how anybody could not see the hand of a designer behind this. The only reason they would do such a thing is because they don't want there to be a designer. They simply don't like the idea of there being a God that, you know, made the world, because obviously, if there's a creator, then maybe there are some rules, you know, like thou shalt not. They don't want those rules. And so the real problem is not that there's no evidence for creation. It's that it wouldn't matter what evidence you gave them. They don't want to hear it. They simply refuse. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, the scoffers are willingly ignorant.
And, of course, the terrible thing is that these people control the schools. They say, oh, we want fairness, we want academic freedom. But they don't want both sides to be presented. Evolution is a theory. You can say, well, you can't prove creation. I think you can, but don't you think we should present both sides and let the children decide for themselves instead of indoctrinating them with all sorts of things that just are not true? I remember when I went to school and we saw these pictures of, you know, of these various embryos, that there was a pig and a human and a fish and a bird, and they all looked exactly the same. And then you saw as they developed and they began to change. The trouble is, it was all fraudulent. The bird and the fish and the embryo never look like a human embryo at any time. That was discredited 100 years ago, and they're still using it in the textbooks because a picture is worth 1,000 words. And they're lying to our children in schools. They're not teaching them at all. They are not educating them. They're indoctrinating them. And that, of course, I believe is criminal activity. We'll be right back here with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest today is Dr. Kent Hovind. Go ahead, Kent, pick up the story from there.
Well, yeah, it is true that they are simply lying to the kid. There are about 50 different lies in the typical textbook that are used over and over and over to support the evolution theory. They teach them the embryo has gill slits, like you referred to earlier. That's wrong. It's not true, okay? The embryo has little folds of skin that develop into bones in the ear and glands in the throat. They never have anything to do with breathing. How they get by with this, I don't know. So we've got a little booklet called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book? It's free. If the radio listeners call in, they can get one for free. And they ought to get a bunch and give out to all the kids in their school. They can just call our toll-free number during the day in Pensacola, Florida, when we're open. 850-479-DINO. 877 is toll-free, or 850, either one. 877-479-DINO-3466.
All right, fine. And so basically what you're doing is pointing out that the things that they're teaching our children in school are not true. But don't the teachers know that? Or don't the professors somewhere at some university realize that this is all fallacious?
I think some of them have to realize that. I mean, you'd have to be just real stupid to not realize this stuff is not true. So, why they teach it, maybe some of them really think it's true, or maybe some of them just simply don't know any better. You know, if you went to a communist country 10 years ago, go to the Soviet Union 10 years ago, and you find all the teachers are teaching, you know, communism is good, capitalism is bad. Do they really believe that? I don't know. Maybe they do. Or maybe they're just afraid of losing their job or their head. So why do teachers teach evolution? Probably some have just been taught that all their life. They think it's true. There might be some who are afraid of losing their job. There might be some who are afraid of facing the concept that there might be a God, because that brings with it some rules and responsibilities, and that really, really bothers them.
All right. Well, now let's get into some of the things that we're told today about the dinosaurs that lived, hundreds of millions of years ago. And, of course, they look at this skeleton we have, and this is 30 million years old, this great dinosaur. And we've all seen these skeletons. And aren't those skeletons real?
The skeletons are real, but they did not have a date on them when they found them. I've dug dinosaurs before, and I'm not aware of any of having a date on them. If you know of one, let me know. I'd like to see that. They don't even have a little tag, telling, hey, this is a dinosaur from 80 million years ago.
But how do they know how old that dinosaur is? I mean, they say this with such assuredness, like, we know this is, everybody knows this is a 30 million year old dinosaur, but how do they know that?
Well, they don't know that, but they think, like Adolf Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and often enough, the people, they'll believe it. And that's what happens with all this propaganda with dinosaurs living millions of years ago.
And how then does they date the dinosaur? How do they date when he lived?
Well, it started off back in early 1800s when they developed the idea called the geologic column, that each of the layers of rock that we see is a different age. And they said, well, obviously the layer on the bottom is older than the one above it. Well, actually, that's not quite so obvious. Because if you dump a bunch of dirt and water and dirt and sand and gravel into still water, it settles into layers, and the bottom layer forms first. However, if you do this in moving water, 5 or 6 or 10 layers can form simultaneously. It's really interesting to watch in a sedimentation tank, so that it's possible for the fossil on the bottom to be younger than the fossil on top. Very interesting phenomenon happens in moving water. So the geologic column was developed in the 1830s. Charles Lyell and Steno and Cuvier and some guys did this. It doesn't exist any place on planet Earth except in the textbooks. The whole geologic column is just baloney. Okay, does not exist. Then they started teaching, maybe each of these layers had a certain type of animal that should be found in it. So they gave them names, the Jurassic and Permian and Mississippian and Devonian. And they gave index fossils to each of these layers. And the whole thing is just baloney. It's a lie. Does not exist. But that's been taught now for 170 years. And so people start to assume, it must be true. It's been in the textbooks for 170 years. A lot of things were taught. It was taught for 2,000 years that a big rock will fall faster than a little rock. That's not true. So just because something's taught for a while doesn't make it true. The whole geologic column is how they date it.
Now then, what about the things of carbon dating? Doesn't this give you a fairly accurate appraisal of how old something is?
Well, when you realize carbon dating wasn't even invented until 1947 or 8 or 9, I'm not sure what year, but late 40s, okay? That's when carbon dating was invented. Way before that, they were teaching kids the Earth is millions of years old. So I would ask them, hey, in 1920, how did you know it was millions of years old? They certainly didn't have carbon dating back then or any kind of radiometric dating. So all of the radiometric dating methods were just created in the last 50 years, and none of them work. They never have worked, ever, if they're given the right number. There's a book called The Rate Project, R-A-T-E, available from ICR, Institute for Creation Research. Go to icr.org. It's kind of an expensive book and highly technical. But if you really want to get into the carbon dating, that would be one. If you want a more simplified answer, you can go to my video number 7, where I have my seminar series on drdino.com, which you can listen to right there on MP3. Or you can order it right there online. And you have a Christmas special if they get the message in quick before Christmas. Carbon dating has never worked, ever. I give a bunch of examples on my seminar, part 7. For instance, they dated a living snail. It's still alive, crawling around the laboratory, and it broke a piece off the shell, and it gave an age of 21,000 years.
That's a pretty old snail, isn't it?
Oh, man, he's been crawling there for a long time.
And, of course, the thing is that the material that is in the shell of the snail, has been picked up. It has been around for a long time. It's just picked up and incorporated into the shell, and that's what they use for the carbon dating. But then, of course, that's 21,000 years. Now, most evolutionists, or many evolutionists, think that the Earth has only been around maybe 6 to 10,000 years. So how do you then correlate the 21,000-year old snail, or at least the carbon in the 21-year-old thousand snail, to the 6 to 10,000 years?
Well, since we know it doesn't work, if you test a living snail and it comes back 20-some thousand years old, I mean, it ought to be obvious to anybody with half a brain, hey, this doesn't work, okay? Whatever we're doing isn't working. So we don't need to correlate it with a 6,000-year-old Earth. This thing is still alive, and it's given in the 20,000 range. So there's no need to even try to correlate something like that. We don't have to. They're the ones that are wrong. They've got to prove their point, not me.
All right. Well, of course, but then, of course, they point to the stars. The stars are, a million light years away. Well, of course, if you've got light that's now arriving here that was produced in the star a million years ago, how do we correlate that?
Well, I point out, you simply cannot measure those great distances. I would say it's impossible to measure more than about 100 light years, and I would even give that, that'd be a stretch. And I go through on Seminar Part 7, how they measure star distance, and it'll make you scratch your head and say, how on earth can these guys be teaching this? Let's see. The stars, you cannot tell the distance to the stars, number one, okay? Number two, we don't know the speed of light's always been the same. There's quite a few good articles in the last 10 years or less about the speed of light not being consistent. And I've got a bunch of them here in front of me about the speed of light. Let me just read a couple of them here. Here's one from Astrophysics and Space Science magazine back in 1987, where they said the speed of light was 10 billion times faster at time zero. Barry Setterfield, the government astronomer for Australia, said the speed of light has apparently decreased so rapidly that experimental error cannot explain it. There's an article in, here's an article from 2001, August 16, 2001, in Science News, October 6, 2001, Science News ran an article about constant changes is the title. The speed of light is not consistent.
And, of course, that then puts it a lie to all their ideas of the consistency of light, and it would take all these light years, a million light years to get here. How do they know that if the speed of light isn't constant? They actually have measured the changes in it, haven't they?
Well, yeah, it's been observed the speed of light is not consistent. There's a whole article in Discover Magazine, April 2003, the title on the book, on the cover, was Einstein wrong about the speed of light? And they're saying, yep, Einstein was wrong. Speed of light's not a constant. So, plus, I ask people, how old was Adam on day six? They say, well, he was zero. That's the day he was made. I say, great, that's correct. Now, how old did he look? Did he look zero? Well, no. He looked, 51, the perfect age. That's what I am this year. Next year will be 52. So, God made two full-grown people, Adam and Eve, in the garden. He didn't make a couple of babies and hand them a package of seeds and say, plant these quick, It's not going to work. You have to have a full-grown man, full-grown woman. Or it's just not going to work. And a full-grown garden. So the God that can create a full-grown man already could walk, talk, name the animals, and get married. I mean, where did he learn coordination? Where did he learn speech? It just was pre-programmed. It was built into him.
Just like so many things are built into the animals, built into the fish. I mean, it's just part and parcel of their very nature. How do birds know how to migrate, 10,000 miles, every year? I mean, how do they know where they're going? How do they know how to get back where they came from? And they don't remember in their minds, but there is these innate things that God put into each and every species and every individual.
Well, if you look at the Pacific, I think it's the golden plover. Absolutely phenomenal bird. It goes to Alaska, lays its eggs, and then flies to Hawaii after the babies get big enough. It leaves the babies behind. 2 weeks later, the babies fly to Hawaii. How do they know where Hawaii is?
Now, how do homing pigeons know where home is? We'll be right back here in just a moment with Kent Hovind. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember, between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there is an infinite quality of difference.
4-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Kent Hovind, and we're talking about what's this whole scam of evolution. Now, if you can convince an entire nation of a lie on evolution, you can convince them of a lie on just about anything. And this is coordinated through our universities, through our teaching facilities, through our media, and they scoff at anybody who doesn't believe in evolution. Why, science has proven this. After all, we know the missing link. It's the Piltdown Man. Well, that's what it was 50 years ago when I went to school, and for almost 40 or 50 years, people believed a lie, and then it turned out the whole thing was a scam. But the whole thing is a scam. You would have thought that the exposure of the missing link, the Piltdown Man, would have just brought down the whole deck of cards. But, of course, when you control the medium, when you control the wealth of the world, and when you're intent upon destroying Christianity, why, you got a lot of things going for you. course, I would far rather be rearmed than that is believing that God did create the heaven and the earth, than trying to figure out how this all came about the way these scientists were actually prostituting their profession to prove or to perpetuate their false ideology because they really hate God. Well, let's go to Robert calling from Illinois. Robert, do you have a question for Dr. Hovind?
Yes, I'd like to ask Ian Job about Leviathan. I know, you know, in the King James it says the sneezings, and then in new versions they change that to sneezing, but does he think that the Leviathan might have been like a fire-breathing dragon, like the Bombardier Beetle type thing?
I do, yes, sir, Robert. What part of Illinois are you in?
Near Chicago.
I lived in Kankakee for 3 years, and born and raised in Peoria. So you enjoy your winter up there. When you get frozen, come on down to Pensacola.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The Bible mentions Leviathan quite a few times, actually. There's a whole chapter in Job 41. We've got a videotape about Leviathan. If you go to my website, Dr. Dino, it's in the green series, the topical series of tapes, called Leviathan, the Fire-Breathing Dragon. It's pretty obvious from reading the verses there that this creature could breathe fire. That's what it says. You know, his fire comes out of his mouth. And so I cover the four different reasons why I believe in fire-breathing dragons on that videotape. But basically, number one, the Bible certainly teaches there was one. Number two, it's chemically possible to do that. There are several different chemicals. You mentioned the Bombardier Beetle. It doesn't actually breathe fire, but it sprays two chemicals that explode on contact with each other, and they burn their enemies. They call them the blister bug. Number three, I point out the anatomy of some of the dinosaurs, like the hadrosaurs, the lambiosaurs, even the pterosaurs, had hollow bumps on the back of their head that would have been a perfect storage compartment for different chemicals to spray on their enemies. And number four, I point out, there are just literally thousands of legends about these things. You know, why are there so many legends about fire-breathing dragons?
Maybe there really were fire-breathing dragons.
Yeah, why not a fire-breathing hamster or a butterfly or something, you know? It's always a dragon. So yeah, I think there really was one.
Okay, anything else, Robert?
I was also wondering about the different claims they keep saying, like with NASA, that they're finding life on Mars and things like that. And if you want, well, you know, what's his opinion on that?
I think it's a bunch of baloney. I think they found salt water on Mars, which was predicted by Walt Brown. He said when the fountains of the deep broke open, he thought that with 10 miles of rock on top of the water that was under the crust of the Earth, it's mentioned in Psalm, let's see, 33, Psalm 136, Psalm 24, all those places mention that when God created the world, the water was in storehouses under the earth, within the crust of the earth. Today, most of the water's up top, okay, but there was water under the crust of the earth initially. That water, with 10 miles of rock on top, when the fountains of the deep broke open, you know, that would provide what's called the water hammer effect, which probably would eject some things from earth into space. I mean, they would go get away from Earth's gravity, and then they would drift around for a few hundred years until they bump into other planets or get drawn into something, like, you know, Mars' gravitational field. And so if there's salt water on Mars, it may have come from the Earth when the fountains of the deep broke open. As far as life on these planets, there is zero, none, been detected.
But you see, Robert, I really think that when they come up with that, well, see, there's life on Mars, that explains where life on Earth came from. No, it doesn't. Where did life on Mars come from? You see, they don't want to get back to the basic concept and the reality that somebody, some force, some creator created life. And so, well, it came from outer space. That explains it. And everybody nods their head dutifully, and it really hasn't explained anything at all. Where did that life come from? They don't want to address it because they would have to recognize there is a creator, and they're going to have to follow his laws, either on this, while they're living, or at the Day of Judgment. Thanks so much for calling, Robert.
Yeah,
any other questions you had?
I just wonder if Dr. Hovind had an opinion on, like, cold fusion and things like that.
I don't have much of an opinion. To my knowledge, nothing's been done there yet. Do you know of any experiments where it's worked?
Well, some say there have been, you know.
Okay, but that's a little out of the line. But anyway, okay. Thanks so much for calling, Robert. And when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 468-4-8295 right here at Radio Liberty.
very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just wanted to mention that we do carry the big Berkey products. We carry the Berkey Light, and if you certainly live in an area where you have a bad taste to your water, you're worried about the contamination of the water, you need to have a big Berkey or Berkey Light. They're also great as an emergency situation. If there was ever a nuclear attack, why, these filters will actually filter the water, so you would not be drinking contaminated water, although you'd have to change the filters after a couple of weeks, but that's something you'd want to have an extra set of filters along if you want it for that purpose. But if you have not yet read the book that we carry, it's called Inside the Red Zone by Igor Shafid, who is actually trained in the Leningrad Institute, and he will tell you they're planning on a nuclear war. The Russians really believe it. What are you doing to prepare yourself? Well, one of the things you really would want to do would be to get yourself a big Berkey or Berkey Light. You can see them at our website. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 for the big Berkey or Berkey Light. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Kent Hovind. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you know, I graduated from the University of California, and I was trained in evolution, and I had all of these things laid out. I mean, I believed all of these various ages that they told us about because they were all scientifically determined. It was all science. And then you begin to realize it is all fraudulent, and these scientists have been lying, and they lie to the students. Maybe they don't even know they're lying. This is what they were taught. But you get into the background of this. They have no explanation for life. I mean, what are fossils? They're billions of dead things laid down in sediment covered over with water all over the world. Where did they come from? There had to be a cataclysmic event to create the fossils that we see. And I really think, of course, that, this was the time of the Great Flood. What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, I think there's no question. It takes very special conditions for fossils to form. You know, the Indians used to hunt the buffalo out west, and the white men came out there, and to help subdue the Indians, they slaughtered, you know, hundreds of thousands of buffalo. Well, how many fossilized? You know, where are the buffalo fossils? There are zero, because they weren't buried. The only way to get a fossil is to bury it, you know, very special conditions, absence of oxygen, very slow decomposition, mineral replacement of the bone. And so the very existence of fossils is evidence of a flood, you know, of any fossils. Certainly, fossils are found all over the planet. So I think it was a worldwide flood. It's real simple. It's a no-brainer for me.
Well, now, of course, we hear about the mastodon that they found, you know, frozen in, down beneath the ice with green grass in his stomach. So there must have been some sort of a cataclysmic event when that occurred. And now they're telling us that global warming may very well lead to another ice age. And you know, they keep telling us this on television and in movies. And, you know, oh, global warming is going to lead to an ice age, you know, just like that when that mastodon. Suddenly, you know, all of a sudden he was walking along and all of a sudden the ice came around him. And that's why he was suddenly frozen stiff and is still there, you know, millions and millions and millions of years later. How do you respond to people like this?
Well, it's like the movie The Day After Tomorrow that
right.
came out, you know.
Well, that was what I was thinking of.
Pure propaganda, you know. That was Go Hug a Tree, you know. Al Gore would be proud with a movie like that. It was so dumb, you know. That kind of stuff's not going to happen. There will be catastrophes on this planet. There's no question. And God's going to send them, says in the Book of Revelation. I'd recommend they read that one carefully. So, as far as the mammoths that are frozen, the problem with this is, it requires temperatures that are colder than anything found on Earth. In order to freeze a mammoth standing up with food in his teeth, he needs something about 300 below zero. And the coldest it ever gets is minus 127. That's the current world's record near the South Pole. So where are you going to get 300 below zero? And, you know, the only place you're going to get that is outer space. So there had to be either a cold tunnel coming down from the, upper troposphere or something, or an ice meteor, and we cover the ice meteor theory on seminar part 6 of my video series on drdino.com. That it's just a theory that possibly we got struck by an ice meteor or we went through the tail of an ice comet and a bunch of ice got dumped on the North and South Pole, which would freeze the mammoth standing up.
All right. Certainly, there are so many things that we really don't have good explanations for, and that's as good as any because the scientists really don't have a good explanation other than global warming is going to lead to global cooling, and we're going to see something just like we saw on Day After Tomorrow.
Isn't it interesting? Their solution for global warming is more government intervention.
Right.
Like, what has the government ever fixed, you know?
Well, of course, the thing is that the government intervention is going to destroy the economy of the United States because the restrictions are all in the United States. Isn't it interesting? The greatest polluter in the world is communist China. And it's not going to affect them one little iota. And India's coming along right close behind. It's not going to affect them at all. So if we're really interested in controlling, you know, the greenhouse emissions, why aren't they going to do anything to China or to India? And the real reason is an attack on the infrastructure of America, and the plan is to lower our living standards to that of third world nations. And of course, but nobody's going to tell the American people that. Why? They wouldn't go along with it if they knew what it was about.
No, absolutely. It's such a grand conspiracy that it's so hard to believe it. People have fallen for it.
Well, I notice up on your webpage you have a picture of the Georgia Guidestones. And, in fact, I saw underneath the picture, you attributed the picture to me, which I appreciate. But tell us a little bit about where do the Georgia Guidestones fit into this whole scenario that's unfolding before us?
Well, if you go to Atlanta, Georgia, and then head east about 50 miles to the town of Elberton and go north about 7 or 8 miles, you see these Georgia Guidestones. It's huge granite slabs that are set up. This was paid for in 1980 by somebody anonymous. He called himself R.C. Christian, but as he said, it's a pseudonym. He walked in with cash, paid for this to be done, and it has the Ten Commandments for the New World Order in 12 languages on there. Have you been to see them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like you feel like you're in demon territory when you walk on the property.
Well, you really are.
It's the weirdest thing. Well, this... It says commandment number one, of course, of the Ten Commandments for the New World Order was to reduce the population or maintain humanity under a half billion.
500 million in constant balance with nature.
Well, there's 6 billion alive today. Hello, you know, how are you going to maintain it under a half billion? First place, the world's not overcrowded. Man, you should fly out west. You know, take a look out the airplane window once in a while. The world's not overcrowded. That's one of the biggest lies ever. The idea of reducing the population is ludicrous. God said clearly he designed the world to be inhabited. Today, only 3% of the earth is habitable. 97% is either underwater, under ice, or deserts, or mountains, or just simply uninhabitable. And even on the 3% that's left, we still could support 3 times more people than we have, probably more than that. So it's not overcrowded. But these guys have plans for a one-world government, a new world order, and Christians do not fit into their plans.
And that's exactly what it's really all about. And you think that things were bad for the Jews under Adolf Hitler, you just wait and see what the current Christian administration already has planned for the people. Well, let's go to our Tony, who's calling us from Soquel. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, thank you. I was just wondering what your guest's opinion is of on two things. One is, and I'll listen, I'll hang up, punctuated equilibrium.
Punctuated equilibrium, all right.
And secondly, on Emanuel Velikowski.
All right, well, let's start off with punctuated equilibrium. Thanks very much, Tony.
Okay, let me write this down here so don't forget. Stephen Gould and Niles Eldridge have come up with this theory called punctuated equilibria, which really is just a slightly modified and barely repackaged hopeful monster theory that Goldschmidt came up with in 1940. Professor Goldschmidt in 1940 was so frustrated because there simply were no fossils that could be pointed to and say, this is intermediate, this proves the theory that one animal changed to another theory. You know, where's the half-formed anything? You know, there is no evidence of evolution anywhere.
In other words, how do we get from being a fish to being a bird, to get to be a mammal, to get to be a
right.
human being? There has to be something intermediate if these things were all gradually evolved, unless, of course, there was some catastrophic event.
Well, that's where Goldschmidt finally said, maybe the first bird hatched from a reptile egg. You know, a reptile laid an egg and a bird hatched out, so we're never going to find the missing links because they didn't exist. Evolution happened so quickly, there are no missing links. So that proves the theory.
And that was sort of, some people refer to it as the horrible monster. In other words, the reptile lays an egg and it's a bird, and that's a horrible monster theory. Right. You have to have a lot of faith to come up with something and believe
you
in
do.
That. Something that ridiculous.
Plus, you got a real problem. Who's this first one, Mary? I mean, you got to have two of these at the same time. You know, in your billions of years, they got to be, and they got to be of the opposite sex. Now, there's a problem. What if it finally happens and two of them happen, but they're the same sex? Well, you lost out. Okay. Or what if they're too far apart? You know, they got to be at the same time in the same place of the opposite sex, and they got to be interested. What if she's not interested? Okay, well, now you got another problem. So it's such a dumb theory. Well, Stephen Gould at Harvard University and Niles Eldridge from the American Museum of Natural History, they've kind of resurrected this same theory, and they're saying, guys, look, we might as well admit there aren't any missing links. So maybe that proves evolution happened in leaps or jerks, or they call it punctuated equilibria. You know, you go along for millions of years and nothing changes, and all of a sudden, poof, everything changes, you know. Oh, wow. And they'll say, so we won't find any missing links because it happened so quickly. That's the punctuated equilibrium theory. I think it's just got to be close to one of the dumbest theories in the history of the world.
But it's, unfortunately, so many of our learned people in the great universities believe this, or at least they try to convince us they believe it.
I don't understand how anybody could possibly believe such a thing. However, hey, they do, okay, and they have a right to believe.
They have to, you see, because the only other alternative is that God created the heaven and earth. And since they reject God, they have to, of course, embrace this lie, which is so ridiculous that even a three-year-old would know it's ridiculous.
Like I said before, the only reason they believe it, I believe, is because they know if they admit there's a creator, then along with that comes some rules.
Right.
And they really don't want that.
All right. Well, then, of course, we got Velikowski. Do you have any thoughts on him at all?
I've never been able to finish any of the books that he wrote, but his idea...
I've had the same problem.
Okay. I think he had some good ideas. Obviously, there have been some catastrophes on this Earth. But I think he went screwy. He still believed the Earth was billions of years old and thought this was aliens from other planets or something, if I understand his theory right. So, yeah, I would say... there's no question the Earth has had some catastrophes, but it has nothing to do with the billions of years ago stuff. So,
let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Will, how are you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a question for your guest. If he has ever heard of Auguste Comte or Auguste Comte?
Yes, he was the French. He had like five names, actually, a really, really long name.
Yes.
I forget.
Xavier Francis Auguste Marie Comte.
Yeah,
and I think that Comte was an adopted name. The reason why I bring him up is that in his philosophy, his history, or the positive sociology that becomes our sociology, which is at the ground of most all modern education, he came along in his encyclopedic understanding of all the sciences extant then, but he came along to these same kind of little quirks that we're dealing with tonight. And what he did... Now, I'm sure he wasn't the first, but he put it in his books, in his writings. He taught that wherever in the study of natural sciences we come to places that we can't solve, we simply intercalate whatever the answer needs to be there in the hopes that sometime in the future we'll find the answer.
Well, I think that's what they've been doing with Darwinism, because Darwin realized that his theory was all full of holes, and he said, well, you know, if we can't find the intermediate links, it's not true, but it's going to take time, and eventually we'll find all the intermediate stages, and then, of course, the theory will be proven.
Absolutely. Just insert whatever you need to, make the theory work, and then just go ahead about your day.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that, Kent?
Well, he also taught. He was a Frenchman. He lived in the early 17. He's born 1707, if I have it right, and died 1788, I believe. But he was a botanist and a brilliant scientist in many ways, but he taught what's called the Great Chain of Being, which is nothing more than Aristotle's theory resurrected, that all life can be arranged in a great chain, with man at the top, and under that is woman, and under that is animals, and under that is plants. But then the animals can be further divided into a chain, you know, some kind of sequence. So they start with the assumption, you know, evolution is true, now let's figure out how we can prove it. The thought never crosses their mind that maybe evolution isn't true. You know, they never get that far in their thinking.
Okay, anything else, Will?
Well, no, other than just simply that he refused first causes and final causes, and he put it all in just the things that we can see and touch and think and feel.
Okay, thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
And, of course, we got real problems because they are using our educational system to destroy the faith of our children. That's why, if you love your children, get them out of the government schools if there's any human way possible, because they'll wipe out their faith in family and in freedom and, of course, destroy their future.
Yeah, I agree. Get them out if you can. If you can't get them out, at least if you can't isolate them, at least insulate them. Give them some ammo to fight back with. You know?
All right, fine. Well, tell people a little bit about more of your ministry, because you've got all sorts of videos and you've got all sorts of programs and you've got all sorts of books to train children the truth about this, so that when they go to schools, they can point out all the fallacies, of course, of what they're being taught. So how can people get in touch with you? What will they get if they do get in touch with you?
Okay, we have produced over 1 million videotapes, actually probably 1.25 million videos on creation and evolution. We have lots of debates I've done. Our website is Dr. Dino. It's our main site, drdino.com. They can also go to our dinosauradventureland.com. We have a theme park, museum, and science center here to help teach the creation view with lots and lots of activities and science center and museum, and oh, it's just a blast. Brother Stan, you've got to come out here and see this place.
I would really like to.
And then we have our creation boot camp once a year. It's going to be our first one. It's supposed to be September, but we had a little hurricane here, so we had to postpone it. It'll be May 13th is our creation boot camp. People can come get trained on how to be a more effective teacher of creation and learn more, get armed to the teeth, you know, for get out into the war. Our video series is probably the most effective, and that's available on drdino.com. It's $99 for the whole series. If they get it before Christmas, they can get a second set for somebody for a gift for half price.
And how many videos are there in this set?
Well, it's 17 hours on 7 videos or DVDs. It includes a seminar notebook with all kinds of interesting graphs and charts and stuff that would really help use as visuals, you know, when they teach. And there have been a lot of folks who get it and just absolutely love it. It's life-changing.
I tell you, I've heard Kent speak so many times, and he's humorous, you're laughing, and you're thinking, and you're challenged, and he's really got so many wonderful examples and wonderful stories that really will help to educate not only children, but old folks like me.
Well, everybody seems to enjoy it, because I've heard a lot of the creationists speak, you know, and they're very smart, and everybody walks away saying, wow, he was smart, you know, what did he say? You know, they're so busy trying to reach the intellectuals that I think they're missing the main point. Hey, guys, most of the world is not intellectual. Let's reach the fourth graders, you know. And so that's what I work hard to do, is keep my seminar simple, and everybody seems to enjoy it. A lot of humor, a lot of visuals.
It's been 1.25 million. It's really an excellent program. And so how, again, can they, if they go to drdino.com, what about the telephone number again?
They can call toll-free 877-479-DINO. 877-479-3466, and if they ask for our free brainwashed book, we'll send them one of those, or they can just ask, we can send them a catalog too automatically, or they can get a catalog. 877-479-3466. We'll be glad to help them out.
And I think that the biggest thing is that we have to be able to get to the children so that when they go to school and they're taught these things, they'll realize that it's a lie. They'll realize these pictures that they put in the textbooks there were discredited 100 years ago. So why do they still put them in the textbooks? Why, very simply, to deceive the children. And if you can deceive the children at a young age, then, of course, you can continue deceiving them through high school and then through college. And when they go into life, they'll really believe the lie. And if you can convince an entire nation of a lie, why, you can control them. And as Adolf Hitler said, you know, the bigger the lie, if it's a big lie, why, people will tend to believe it.
Yeah, and it's sad people have come that far. So that's what we produce materials just to do that, to counteract the lie. Everything about evolution is based on lies. Of course, everything Satan does is based on lies, you know.
And there's really this satanic force that's out there to destroy our belief in God. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, Kent, thank you so much for being with us.
For having
me, always
really,
a
anytime.
Pleasure.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh. Okay. Well, I guess this evening has been Dr. Kent Hovind, and, of course, he's known as Dr. Dino, and, you know, his material is great. If you can get his course and sit down and watch it, you'll learn so much. You'll be able to really be able to address this issue and, of course, to defeat these people who are selling our children a lie.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the northern arm of the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book on there that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention today I was really pleased to find out that Paul Thompson's Terror Timeline is back in print, and so we ordered a good supply of them in. This is one of the finest books. It simply gives you, in many respects, a week-by-week, month-by-month, day-by-day, and, of course, leading up to 9/11, hour-by-hour and minute-by-minute, a survey of what really happened. It's a great book. I thought it was going to be out of print, and so people have ordered it, and we couldn't provide it for them, but it is back in print now. Paul Thompson's Terror Timeline is must-reading for anybody who really wants to understand what happened on September 11th, that watershed event that then laid us open to where we are going today. Because, of course, in the name of fighting terrorism, why they're creating a federal Gestapo, massive expansion of government control, repealing the Bill of Rights, repealing the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, and, of course, this is what happens in any state that goes into a totalitarian society. And it's all in the name of fighting terrorism. And yet, of course, we never tried to take Osama bin Laden out when our boys went into Afghanistan. You mean to tell me a nation that could put a man on the moon and send a space vehicle to Mars wouldn't be able to capture Osama bin Laden with all the troops and all the surveillance and the satellites that we had, could watch everything moving, and we just couldn't find that wicked Osama bin Laden? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. You need to get Terror Timeline, which we carry. You need to get Inside Job by Jim Mars, an excellent book. You need to get Osama's Revenge, a book by Paul Williams that we're carrying. And you need to get Dennis Cuddy's September 11th Prior Knowledge in his book Cover Up. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. Terror Timeline, Cover Up, September 11th Prior Knowledge, Inside Job. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we need to remind you that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we're primarily dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us do what we do 5 hours every day. We're trying to get people to understand we're going to lose America. The Christian church is being used for the destruction of this nation. Most Christians voted for this terrible war we're in over in Iraq. Why did they vote for it? Well, because, of course, John Kerry was such a terrible candidate. He was. He belongs to the same secret society that George W. Bush belongs to, the Skull and Bones Society. And both men, when asked prior to the election about Skull and Bones, both of them said, it's so secret, we can't discuss it. Well, of course they can't discuss it, because it has strong ties to the occult. It is an occult society. Now, we have information you're not going to get any place in the country on Skull and Bones. We have a four-tape set with interviews with the daughter of a woman whose father and grandfather came from Skull and Bones. We have interviews with Alexandra Robbins, who attended Yale, who wrote the classic book on the Skull and Bones Society called The Tomb, Inside the Tomb, I think is the title of it. And then we have, of course, the book, an interview with Chris Mulligan, who wrote Fleshing Out of Skull and Bones. We carry his book. We carry Professor Sutton's book, The American Establishment, or America's Secret Establishment. So all of these things are available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, I suggest that four-tape set on Skull and Bones. Really, it's nothing quite like it anybody else has, and it will give you a tremendous insight into this organization that had its origin in the occult back in 1832. We also have something that nobody else has, and that, of course, is the Skull and Bones membership list. We actually got that from the daughter of a man who belonged there. And this goes back to 1832, and it gives you a biography of all the people. Did you know that there were six members of the Bush family that have belonged to Skull and Bones? See, this is intergenerational. It goes from decade to decade, from generation to generation. And it's been around for over 150 years. And it's been operating right out of Yale University, right out of what they refer to as the tomb. And if you go in there, the people have been there. There are all sorts of swastikas and occult emblems and skulls and bones, a Geronimo skull there. And, of course, tremendous ties to these ancient mystical religions. And many people believe it has strong ties into Masonry. We can't definitely say that. We can tell you that the people who dominate the CIA and American banking and American education, and American corporations, and American government come from Skull and Bones. People dominate the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a parallel organization that has its origin in the occult. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Secrets of the Tomb, the book, Fleshing Out of Skull and Bones, America's Secret Establishment, the membership list, which is really for researchers, but it's got the member list and biography of everybody who's ever belonged to Skull and Bones from 1832 up until about 1983, and then of course the four tape set of the Skull and Bones. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, which is another occult organization here in Northern California, where, of course, they hold a feigned human sacrifice, and the people wear black hoods, and well, just like they do at Skull and Bones, because they're all parallel occult organizations. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind and the survival of America, and most people don't even know a battle is going on. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.